Thank you for donating almost $80,000 to Issues Etc. in the past month. With 2 weeks left in 2014, we're $22,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of the year.
Me, Clarence! Get me back! Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Get me back to my wife and kids! Help me, Clarence, please! Please! I want to live again! I want to live again! I want to live again! Please, God, let me live again!
Famous scene from It's a Wonderful Life, the holiday classic. That's how we think of these kinds of movies, holiday classic. Now, it's got a Christmas theme to it. It is a rather dark film. It's not theologically very sophisticated. It's kind of pop Christianity of the 1950s, angels, wings, bells ringing, things like that. But it has a distinctly moral center and a strong theme of redemption and self-sacrifice on the part of the principal character, as you just heard. Not exactly Christmas as the church might celebrate it, but it is more Christmassy than a lot of the things that pass for Christmas movies. We're going to talk about the secular advent on television in the form of the so-called holiday movie. And joining us to do this on this Wednesday afternoon, Terry Mattingly, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to talk to you again.
We're going to talk a bit about some of these holiday movies. What movies are we talking about specifically? A short list, if you would. And what connects them, however tenuously, to anything resembling Christmas?
Well, I was talking to an expert on pop culture the other day at the Washington Post for the column that I did for Universal. And he had this kind of almost like a Zen like definition. You know how people say that the Supreme Court's definition of pornography is they're not sure legally what it is, but they know it when they see it. He made the comment that a Christmas movie or a holiday movie is a movie that when it is released, the studios think you'll be watching it on television about 2 years in the future at Christmas and at every Christmas after that for decades to come. So that's a cyclical definition, isn't it? A holiday movie is a movie that you watch during the holidays, which gets us back to that whole thing where, you know, you've got the TV set on or something, and this ad comes on blaring at you, and it says, it's the perfect holiday film for you and the whole family, right? You've heard that how many times, like, in the last 2 months?
Sure.
Like a million, right? I mean, so the point is, what does Hollywood mean when it says that? Well, on one level, all it means is that this film is a product that they think will fit a particular season of time, roughly defined as 2 or 3 weeks before Halloween now. Forget Thanksgiving, before Halloween, all the way through Christmas Day, which is the American Mall's liturgical calendar definition of Christmas. I mean, I think I saw Elf on a basic cable channel about 3 weeks before Halloween this year. And someone said, well, maybe it was just in rotation. No, I mean, when you looked at the ads that were placed in it, it was very clear that this was Christmas in the eyes of the marketplace. And on one level, that's what we're talking about, a product meant to be consumed during this period of time. Usually that means family-oriented. I think that's what most people think of as a Christmas flick. They think family. At that point, you'd say a recent classic in American life would have to be Home Alone, right? I mean, I started getting interested in Christmas movies, quote-unquote, about when Home Alone came out. I did an interview with the film critic Michael Medved, and Medved made a very interesting point. He said that Home Alone was a Christmas movie in the holiday sense of the marketplace, in the Hollywood holiday thing. Home Alone was a Christmas movie. But he pointed out two things that I thought was fascinating. One, the key scene of the whole film, besides the burglars getting trashed, the key scene of the whole movie is the reconciliation scene with the old next-door neighbor and his family, which is set up by a scene in a church. And it's not just a church scene. It's a scene that actually has something to do with family and repentance, and it's the sort of thing that it had to take place in a church for it to make sense. And then right after that, saints be praised, miracle of miracles, we even see the young kid make the sign of the cross when he says his prayer over his macaroni and cheese dinner. Is any of this making a flashback to you?
Oh, absolutely. It's nostalgia all over here.
All over. We're just breaking out. Okay. Medved's point, which I thought was fascinating, he said, as a Christmas movie, Home Alone was worth about X number of millions of dollars. But in his opinion, the inclusion of those two or three themes turned it from a Christmas movie, as in a holiday movie, into an actual Christmas movie that might be accepted by mainstream Americans as a Christmas movie. So I said, okay, well, now you got to give me other examples. And, of course, he cited It's a Wonderful Life, and he cited The Bishop's Wife. He cited a number of other films that you literally are going to see, and every Christmas this is going to be a part of things. But he said these were Christmas movie broadly defined. I mean, it's a family product, and it has something in it that is innately sensitive to religious faith and themes. So we've got levels of Christmas movies. So Die Hard is a Christmas movie because it has scenes at Christmas in it, and it's the sort of thing that if you watch it in the original version, it's R-rated, people getting blasted to whatever. It's a Christmas product. On the other side, we see this other idea, which I'm truly fascinated with, which is what makes a Christmas movie in a higher sense of the word. We're almost like we're discussing American civil religion, right? What kind of religion can a president mention, like in a public address or something? It's like this lowest common denominator religion, but it's definitely sensitive to family, issues of family life, and something to do with faith. Now, that list of Christmas movies is way shorter. And what Medved asked so long ago was he raised the point, if these films become classic and they make so much money, why don't people make more of them? That's the interesting question to me.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about the secular advent, that is, the holiday movie. When we come back, we'll talk about the two big ones, It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Story. Stay tuned.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Mary's Song, the Magnificat, the Song of the Angels' Announcement to the Shepherds, Simeon's Song of Praise in the Temple, the Issues, etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.
Fall is here, and it's time to toss your boots and pack your suits to escape the chill of winter. Opening its doors this December in Mexico, Hyatt Ziva is the perfect repose for all-inclusive splendor. With 9 restaurants, bars, and lounges to choose from each day, and sumptuous suites to retreat to each night, Hyatt Ziva is the only one in the region with a secluded beach. And for a limited time, you can enjoy a discount as part of their grand opening celebration. Call your travel agent or visit all-inclusive.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is RedeemerChico.org.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday afternoon, the 17th of December, we're talking with Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org. about the secular advent on television that is the holiday movie. We've got a great book. Speaking of holiday movies, here's a Christmas book. Now, this is a book that doesn't sugarcoat, doesn't drown the story of Christ's birth in all of the other concerns like the shopping and the commercialism or eggnog or anything like that. It's not a romanticized story of Jesus' birth. It's actually the story told in the words of the songs that are actually sung at Jesus' birth, according to Luke chapter 2. It's called The Songs of Christmas. It's a children's book. It's in the Arch Book series. It's the latest one, and I highly recommend it for your kids or your grandkids. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or give them a call and order The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, The Songs of Christmas in the Arch Books series. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Terry, let's talk about the two that usually get played on an endless loop, kind of marathon style, from at least Thanksgiving on. The first one you mentioned, It's a Wonderful Life, and then the other one, A Christmas Story, which you note in your column, is about the least religious Christmas movie ever made.
Fascinating in that it's supposed to be about, it's a picture of a family Christmas in the 50s, right? Now, if you look at American life, stereotypical or not, if you look at American life in the 50s, wouldn't you kind of assume that church, faith, whatever might be in there somewhere? I mean, statistically speaking, the answer has to be yes. Then where is it in that film? I mean, there's not even a mockery of religion. It's just completely vacant when it comes to that side of Christmas. Yet now, this is the movie that, don't they still show it for 24 hours around the clock or something on one of the Turner channels?
Yeah, that and It's a Wonderful Life. They do both of them.
Well, It's a Wonderful Life is more complex now. It's a Wonderful Life became a classic because of a very interesting mistake. First of all, It's a Wonderful Life, when it came out, was not thought of as a Christmas film. I mean, it had a release just before Christmas, but it primarily came out after that. And it also wasn't a very big success, because in the theaters, people watched the whole film. And if you watch the whole movie, It's a Wonderful Life, it's actually a surprisingly sobering film. And it has all kinds of very deep faith themes in it, which makes sense because the creator of the film, Capra, was a Christian. And Jimmy Stewart came back from World War II, a profoundly changed man himself in terms of his own faith and the way he viewed life. So you had some really interesting believers involved in it. But that movie's downright dark for large parts of it. I mean, here's a man who just never, ever is going to get his dream. He's never going to do what he individualistically wants to do. And instead, he keeps sacrificing for community and sacrificing community and sacrificing for marriage and then sacrificing for family. And it's like he never gets what he wants. But at the end, he's shown that there was a redemptive purpose to it all. Now, that's your archetype of this Christmas with a large C, vaguely or explicitly religious other film, right? So that's type one. And then this other, A Christmas Story, even though it's set in the 50s, this is all about a completely different ritual. And this guy I interviewed, Hank Stuever, at the Post, who wrote a classic, cynical, classic view of a materialistic American Christmas called Tinsel, Hank really had an interesting spin on it. Hank was raised Catholic, and he said a Christmas story is actually a vision of the materialistic and secular advent. Now, isn't that interesting? So instead of Advent disappearing, he argued that that movie shows you how most Americans celebrate Advent. If Advent is the arrival of Christmas morning and the explosion of essentially materialistic joy with a small m or a philosophical large m, that Christmas morning explosion of gift giving is what Americans have spent roughly a month and a half getting ready for. And all the rituals are there. When do you write your Christmas letter to Santa? Is the letter good enough? When do you write what I plan to do during Christmas as an essay at school? When do you go to the mall to face Santa? How many times do you have to pray to your parents, so to speak, hint, 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 for the right toys which will help you achieve materialistic nirvana on Christmas morning when, as somebody says, the basic American living room looks like a Macy's exploded? I thought that was really interesting because that makes sense. If the American Christmas is now essentially gift-giving, spending, food, followed by the NFL playoffs, hasn't he described Advent?
It's a time of preparation. It's, as you say, kind of a prayerful time, although in the parlance of the movie,
it may be P-R-E-Y, but anyway,
yeah,
go ahead.
But it's like prayers to parents, more like hints to parents, and then prayers to Santa, all with a very, very cynical edge to it. I mean, told as an adult, childhood events being told with all the cynicism of an adult.
Yeah, and it's got that kind of bitter edginess to it where you're kind of laughing at all of this, but it's clear that these are the rules. These are the Christmas rules. I had never thought of it that way. And what also goes through it is a sense of yearning, for what is to come, which is a part of Advent, except in this case it's literally yearning for what is to come. And that's totally defined in terms of materialism and toys. And in more sincere films, like the Santa Claus movies that you typically see, this yearning is expressed as kind of the innocence of childhood, right? The goodliness of a child's heart and the wonder in their eyes at the Christmas explosion. And that's presented as kind of a natural, innocent thing. But boy, that goes great with the ads too, doesn't it?
So what is the ultimate message of the, I mean, from It's a Wonderful Life, which is the gold standard, perhaps, to something like a Christmas story and everything in between? What's the basic message of these media products?
I don't think there's a common theme between these two different groups. One is literally just a machine. It's a movie that you put out at a certain time, and in the years to come, you're going to be able to chop it into pieces and put ads in the middle. I mean, that's all it is. That's a materialism with a large M. This other vaguely spiritual Christmas movie is what's intriguing to me because, I mean, the church needs to at least understand that people think this season has something to do with reconciliation with family. It clearly has something to do with families coming together. And, you know, there'll be some sort of dilemma that creates the action of the movie, but it's about family, it's about reconciliation. Faith is in there in the sense of helping others, loving others. It's this vague American religion, yet that is clearly more compatible with Christmas than, I don't know, the shopping mall machine. I'm not sure the church should be terribly happy about either of them, but that second category of vaguely spiritual kind of civil religion Christmas movie is something that we can at least sit on a couch together and watch as a family and maybe have something to talk about. Now, I think it's also fascinating that the attempts to make explicitly Christmas movies like Nativity Story or something like that, that hasn't been all that successful. I'm not sure Americans want to think about religion too much at Christmas. And that may be the ultimate message, and if so, that's a pretty bleak one. Bah humbug and all that.
My wife and I have seen a couple productions of A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens, which kind of is the Christmas movie before there were movies.
Yeah, the archetype.
The archetype. And it is obviously, most obviously, almost ostentatiously a story of redemption. And it's a story that is set around Christmas but doesn't really require much other than the trappings of Christmas to get it. Christmas is not integral to the plot in any real serious way.
Right. There's more Christmas there. And notice that it's the 12 days after Christmas. It's the actual liturgical Christmas season that occurs in that. But even in that, faith is primarily expressed in terms of doing good for others, etc. And that's, don't get me wrong, that's very, very important. But the advent of the Messiah and of some sort of eschatological dream of a new world and a new heaven and new earth, the ultimate Christmas story that is celebrated in the holy day of the nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that didn't even go well in Dickens to some degree. It's like hinted at maybe by the framework. Like you said, that's the frame around the picture, but it's still not the Christmas story in its fullest sense. In that other type of Christmas movie, the diehard Christmas movie, the Christmas story Christmas movie, the frame is the mall. I mean, pure and simple, the frame is the mall. And welcome to America.
Finally, I'd like your thoughts on if we're talking about kind of a secular advent on television, the vicarious nature of it. That is, we're going to, as we do in all of media consumption, but especially movies, we're going to consume these things perhaps as families around the television. But this is going to be a vicarious experience. The actors are going to be doing all the feeling for us.
Right.
I'd like your thoughts on that, as with the Christmas movie as an installed, ensconced part of American holiday tradition.
Yeah, it's kind of like the background radiation of the Christmas big boom, isn't it? It's just kind of there. And I think to some degree what the church can take from that is an opportunity to look at the role that television and entertainment plays in American life in the first place. I mean, to some degree, this idea that the TV set just has to be on and that this is where we get our emotions, this is where we get our feelings. I used to ask seminary students a set of three questions, what I think you and I have discussed before. And those questions were, how do you spend your time, how do you spend your money, and how do you make your decisions? And if you answer those three questions and you can get around the role of television, the internet, the movie theater, popular music, then you're basically talking about life with Amish people. I mean, at that point. You're not talking about how Americans live their ordinary life. So maybe we need to be asking the question of why that TV set is so much a part of Christmas. You know, there are statistics analyzed by books like Marie Wynne books on the plug-in drug and whatever, that when Christmas comes together, Americans spend millions and millions of dollars to fly all over the country to reunite their families, and then they sit in different rooms watching different shows on different TV sets. Maybe that's a chance for us to actually look at the role entertainment plays in our lives, and I wish our church would help us think about that.
Terry Mattingly is the director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. He's also founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us. We're going to talk about two horrific stories, the killing of 45 people, including 132 children by the Taliban at a school in Pakistan, and the killing of two hostages in Australia by a Muslim cleric. We'll be right back.
The world celebrates its Christmas because its Christ was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger.
The Church's Christmas, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The Church celebrates her Christmas because the true Christ was crucified and wrapped in burial cloths and laid in the tomb.
For any size year-end donation, we'll send you an audio link of this sermon and an Advent sermon preached by Todd. Donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Please include your email address in the memo line. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. IssuesETC.org or Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234, and write your email address in the memo line of your check.
Streaming 24/7 sacred music and talk stations from a 500-square-foot office in Collinsville, Illinois, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club. But that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 21st and 28th. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season, issuesetc.org, and click support.